That takes a lot of people out of our church family. Praise the Lord. If you want to follow along in your Bible, we're looking at John, the third chapter, verses 1 through 11. I don't know where you'd be this morning without grace. I know I wouldn't be here. It's only by grace, the unmerited favor of God, that most of us are able to come to church and worship in spirit and in truth. Without grace, I don't know what would happen. Grace means the free and unmerited favor of God given to all of those who have accepted Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. So this morning, what I want you to do is to be really thankful for grace, because we're going to talk about that quite a bit. We sing, we like grace songs, don't we? We like grace songs, don't we?
Yes.
Yeah. I like grace songs because it reminds me of the fact that I could be doing something way outside of the Lord if it weren't for His grace. We sing Amazing Grace, How Sweet the Sound, that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm
found.
Amen. And it's wonderful to be found. And then we sing the other words to that. My sins are gone. I've been set free. My God, my Savior, has ransomed me. Amazing grace, unbounding love. My God, my Savior, has ransomed me. Amazing grace, unbounding love. None of us would be here this morning, actually, unless it's for the grace of God. There are a lot of other things that we could do, but it's the grace of God that makes us come together and worship Him in spirit and in truth. We love that. We love those grace songs because it reminds us of what we could have been without the grace of God, without the power of the Holy Spirit working within us. We love to rejoice that God's grace applies to us, to each person who has received Jesus Christ as Savior, and grace to those who have not, because God is after them, and it's our responsibility to go and share the gospel with them. Grace is so amazing. It's all sufficient. It really does apply to everyone. And we're so thankful that God, in His great wisdom, decided to imbue us with His grace. A guy by the name of LaGuardia, how many of you remember that? Not too many, a few. He was the mayor of New York during the Depression. And one night, it was cold, and he was a different kind of mayor. He went to a night court in one of the very poorest situations in New York City. He dismissed the judge and said, "I'll take over for you. You go home and be with your family." A tattered old woman was brought before him, charged with stealing a loaf of bread. A loaf of bread. Her daughter was sick. Her husband had deserted her. She was charged with stealing a loaf of bread by the storekeeper. He said, "She has to be punished, because this is a poor area, and we have to punish her as a means to other people to discover that you can't steal." And the mayor of New York called her up and said, yeah, you've broken the law. And you have to be punished for breaking the law. And I'm going to fine you $10 or 10 days in jail. He reached into his pocket and he took out the $10 and said, I'll pay your fine. Well, she broke out in tears over that one. $10. And then LaGuardia said, I'm going to fine everybody in this court 50 cents. I can't believe that a woman who has lost her husband, who has been left all alone, had to steal a loaf of bread to feed her two grandchildren. And he asked the bailiff, the person in charge, to collect the 50 cents from each of the people who were there and to give it to this woman. He said, I can't believe that in a community like this, even though it's a poor community, that a woman is forced to steal a loaf of bread in order to feed her children, and none of you do anything. We're like that, aren't we? We see a lot of things going on. We see a lot of people in jeopardy. We see situations that need our help, but we turn away. We just simply turn away. God help us. Grace. Grace was given to this woman. Let's turn about grace from Jesus. The teachers of the law and the Pharisees brought a woman caught in adultery. They made her stand before the group and said, Teacher, this woman was caught in the very act of adultery. In the law, Moses commanded us to stone such a woman. Well, they were itching to get that done. Now, what do you say? Talking directly to Jesus, what do you say? Moses said this. Now, Jesus, what do you say? And they were hoping that Jesus would say something by which they could trap him and make him look foolish and then do what they wanted to do with him. Now, what do you say? They were using the question as a trap in order to have a basis for accusing him. That was always their motive. Whenever they had anything to do with Jesus, their motive was to trap him, to make him look foolish, to have him say something that they could use against him. Unfortunately, we have people who do that today, looking for some reason to be despicable and use what has been said to trap that person. The men who accused her were not ordinary citizens, by the way. You know who they were? They were the religious leaders. Yeah. They weren't the common, ordinary person. They were the religious leaders. They were supposed to be representatives of God. But no, they wanted to trap Jesus. They really didn't care about the woman caught in adultery. They just wanted to know what Jesus would say in comparison to Moses. And if Jesus would say something that they could grab hold of and use against him, they would jump on that immediately. They judged the woman, and they desperately wanted Jesus to be caught in saying something wrong. That's every time that these people met with Jesus, they tried to trap him, ensnare him, and have him say something that they could use against him. This woman had indeed sinned. She was caught in the very act of adultery. But what she needed was, grace. Like all of us, we need grace rather than judgment. Let's take a good long look at ourselves this morning. Where would I stand in a similar situation? Where would you stand in a similar situation? Where would this church stand in a similar situation? Would we be glad to have an opportunity to really come down on this woman caught in the very act of adultery? Or somebody else who had done something wrong? Would we be excited to find something wrong in their lives? It's a wonderful God we have who can deal with us as sinners. Yes, we're no different than the woman caught in the very act of adultery. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. That's you and that's me. A condemned criminal was sentenced to death. In his final moments, he asked for grace. Not from the government, not from people. He turned instead to a bloodied form of one who hung on the cross next to him. He pleaded, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." And in comparison, Jesus said, unlike the religious leaders, "Today, you will be with me in paradise." That's in Luke 23:43. Who do we want to be like? The religious leaders or like the Lord Jesus Christ? Let's extend grace to all. Let's not condemn. Let's learn from grace. And there are some great things that we can learn. But Jesus bent down and started to write on the ground with his finger. That could take a lot of explanation. When they kept questioning him, he straightened up and said to them, "If any one of you is without sin, let him be the first to throw a stone at her." Had we been there in this same situation, how many stones could you throw? How many stones could I throw? Again, he stooped down and wrote on the ground. At this, those who heard began to go away one at a time. The older ones first, until only Jesus was left with the woman still standing there. John 8. Why the older ones? Tell you, if you live long enough, you look back on your life and you see the mistakes that you've made, the sin that you've been involved in, the time you lost your temper, the time you said to a loved one some pretty nasty things. But the grace of God can cover you. Calmly, peacefully, Jesus bent down. By the way, isn't it interesting that Jesus never said a word? Not one single word. He just bent down and took his finger and wrote in the sand. God does not tell us what he wrote. There are a lot of ideas about what he wrote. We don't know for sure. My idea is that he probably wrote some of the sins of those people. But we don't know. But whatever he did, it was an impact on those people standing there. Let's think of Jesus bending down or stooping. It wasn't that he just did that to write in the sand. He left the glory of heaven and stooped down to this earth to become a human, to tabernacle among us, to live a sinless life while we continued to sin. And what we are to learn from the Lord Jesus Christ is that grace is available to us. I don't know about you, but I wouldn't be standing here without the grace of God. He stopped to take torturous lashes, went to the cross, shed his blood, that we might have the forgiveness of sin. And if there's anything that should get us excited, it's what Jesus has done for us and the grace that he has manifested to us. He stopped far enough that all the sins of the world were placed upon him. And when he died, he was resurrected. God chose not to tell us what Jesus wrote. Then he stood up and spoke firmly and with authority, "Let any one of you who is without sin be the first to throw a stone at her." And Jesus bent down, and twice he wrote in the sand. It would be nice if we knew what it was, but we don't. At this, as Jesus was doing this, those who heard began to go away. The older first. And you know, as you get older, you can look back a lot further and remember and know what you have done wrong, the sins that you have committed, and thank God that they are covered by the grace of God. I don't think anybody would be here this morning if it were not for the grace of God. Grace works within us when we are convicted of our own personal sin. Boy, we have another beautiful passage of Scripture. Jesus straightened up and asked her, "Woman, where are they? Has no one condemned you?" "No one, sir," she said. "Neither do I condemn you," Jesus declared. What a beautiful picture of the grace of God. Grace does not condemn. The lack of grace is what condemns. Jesus said, neither do I condemn you. Now that's quite a statement. This woman caught in the very act of adultery. And finally, the accusers are all gone. And he's standing alone with this woman. And he says, no one is here to condemn you. No, nobody. And he said, I don't condemn you either. Boy, how many of us are excited about that? That he does not condemn us either. Wow. What a beautiful moment. What an example of grace. Wow. And Jesus said this before witnesses. So there was a great testimony here. Neither do I condemn you. Jesus, at this point, has provided a means for this woman to change her life. And that's what Jesus said. Neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more. Now, we need to understand that statement. Go and sin no more. She probably left the life of adultery. We don't know that for sure. But as she lived her life, hopefully for the Lord Jesus Christ, she continued to sin. Is there anyone here who, when they became a Christian, never sinned again? Is there anyone here who, when you became a Christian, has never sinned again? If you are, would you please stand up? We've all done that, haven't we? And so as we live our life under the grace of God, remember, we will continue to sin. We will fall short of the glory of God. We will do things that are not happy and not pleasing to the Lord. That's a wonderful thing that we still have the grace of God available to us. And without that, wow. Here's what Jesus Christ did. He stood up in that tomb. By the way, the tomb wasn't open for him to get out. It was open for us to look in. He could have walked right through the rock and manifested himself in wonderful power and glory. So we're thankful that he did that, that he lives within us, and that we have that same power if we'll take it and use it. What a wonderful Savior we have. And the fact that we can live in grace before the Lord. That's very difficult for people to understand. But I want to give you a story that might help. The last scripture that we're looking at is John 8:11. Neither do I condemn you. Go now and leave your life of sin. Go and sin no more. That's a wonderful thing. But unfortunately, we do sin. She may not go back into the life she was involved in. But as we try to live for our lives for the Lord Jesus Christ, we still sin. Would be that it wouldn't, that we wouldn't, but we do. And that's why grace is so important, that unmerited favor that he gives to us. In 2010, 13-year-old Taylor was killed in a skiing accident. And her parents decided to give her, donate her organs. A little weak girl by the name of Patricia, pretty close to death, received Taylor's heart and a new chance in life. Taylor's parents had one request. They wanted to hear their daughter's heart beat once more. Well, Patricia had a lot to do in order to get to the place where she could do that. Patricia received the new heart, but she was not instantly made new. Transplants are difficult. Patricia had to spend a lot of time in exercise, in reading God's word, and she had to work at strengthening the muscles needed to be rebuilt. And she was willing to do that. She had another chance at life. She had a new heart. When we come to Christ, we do receive a new heart. The old heart is taken away. A new heart, a new hope, a new future. But it doesn't instantly make us perfect, does it? Throughout life, we still have to work. We have to read God's word. We have to spend time strengthening our spiritual muscles. Every sin, every unhealthy habit within us is not instantly changed. But it takes some time, and it takes a lot of work. So we have spiritual exercise. We have the study of God's word. We have to do it all through life. And when we get to the end of our lives, we will not have reached any kind of perfection. But we will close our eyes in death by the grace of God and go to heaven with him. It will take learning what God wants us to do, applying God's word to our everyday life. It takes a desire, once we become a Christian, to grow in the grace and the knowledge of Jesus. When we pay attention to what God says, we will experience victory in our lives. Well, finally the day came, and the parents were able to make that trip to Patricia. And they were able to once again hear their daughter's heart beat. And it beat strong and steady and miraculously. And it gave them hope, knowing that they had done the right thing and that Patricia had a new opportunity to live. When we become a Christian, we get a new heart. It doesn't mean that we live a perfect life, but we do get a new heart. And you can hear the heart beat, and it's the heart of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? Amen. Jesus dealt with this woman in grace. He is still the same. He deals with us sinners in grace. We turn to him and accept his grace. Praise the Lord. We thank him and we listen to him as he says, go now and leave your life of sin. And that's a good admonition for us, because we do sin, but we have the grace of God, and we have the opportunity to take care of those sins through the word of God. And making a real effort to listen to the heart of the Lord Jesus Christ as it beats within us. So this morning, I trust that you will be thankful for the grace of God and the fact that He has made it possible for you to become a child of God and to inherit eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Just like this woman who was caught in adultery, reached the place where nobody would condemn her, Jesus said, "Neither do I condemn you." Aren't those precious words? You can hear them for yourself as you think about your relationship to the Lord Jesus Christ. "Neither do I condemn you." I'm thankful that He doesn't condemn us, that He hears our heart. He knows what we do, and He knows what we say, but He's a God of grace, unmerited favor. And this morning, if you are outside of Jesus Christ, if you do not understand what I've been talking about, you are not touched by the grace of God, if you need to receive Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, we would certainly invite you to come and say, "Yes, I need Jesus. I will do my very best to listen to Him, to follow His way, to get what He wants me to get from His Word." So our invitation to Him is, Jesus is the answer, and He is the answer. I have no other answer but Jesus. I have a lot of degrees in a lot of different areas, but the only place that I can tell you to go is to Jesus Christ, not to psychology, not to all of the things that the world offers. They are helpful in some ways, but the real issue is the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. So let's be standing as we sing our hymn of invitation.